This is EdTech Weekly. I'm your host, Ricky Zager, and joining me once again is Matt Harrison.
Hello.
How are you doing tonight, Matt?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm ready to go here. We are working on a website. Right now, you're going to need to go to 4techteachers.com. That's the number 4techteachers.com. That's going to give you some of the show notes and some of the links so that you can go back and look at those on your own time. And we're also putting together a Reddit. It's going to be a subreddit, and hopefully it's going to be EdTech Weekly subreddit. Is that what we're working on, Matt?
That is absolutely what we're working on.
All right. So if you're in the Reddit community, just look for EdTech Weekly, and that's going to be another place where you can dictate what we're going to talk about on the show and give us some tips for the news of the week. And Matt, I am so proud to say that when I was looking on Podbean, which is where we host the podcast, that we have a listener in Alabama.
Well, awesome job. High five, Alabama listener.
I mean, I feel like we should track this person down. I'm thinking, like, if they can email us at 4techteachers@gmail.com or edtechweekly@gmail.com, either one of those, that you and I would be inclined to maybe print out the logo for our show, and we'd both give you a hand-signed copy, and we'll promise never to do that ever again in the history of our podcast. So
we might send it to you, too. I'm not positive.
Well, can we charge postage, or should we do it for free?
I know a guy. I think we can swing this.
Excellent. Perfect. So we start off with the news of the week, and we have an article that was posted on Medium.com, and my tech guru, Matt, explains to me that this is what now, Matt? What is Medium.com?
Well, honestly, I haven't had a whole lot of interaction with it, but it seems to work a little bit like Flipboard and Tumblr, where it's people who are able to curate their own content and present it in a way for a community of people that are looking for things of like-minded interest.
Excellent. And the person who does this in this case is Arne Duncan. He's the U.S. Secretary of Education. And he posts this article that's entitled, "What Can Technology Do for Tomorrow's Children?" And I got to be honest with you, Matt, this excites me more than you can imagine. Being in educational technology and hearing some of these ideas that he has, and if this direction can just get passed down to the school systems and the individual schools, I think we're going to be in a much better position than we are right now. One of the things he talks about is this gap between diversity and income in technology. Are we pushing the gap closer together, or are we spreading it further apart where the students that don't have money are falling behind, or the districts that don't have money are falling behind because they can't support this kind of technology? In general, Matt, when we're talking about technology, what do you see happening in technology right now? Is that gap being widened or narrowed? Are the poor getting closer to the people that have means and can use this technology? Are we getting closer here?
I would probably say it kind of depends on different regions in the United States. I mean, all across the world, you can kind of see that the disparity does exist, and in certain areas it is growing. I think initiatives like this and teachers who, you know, would be listening to this are probably a bit more inclined to bridge that education gap that allows more students, to divorced from their background to be able to join in the conversation when it comes to tech and education and to learn and grow from that and use that in other avenues of their life.
And by teachers that or people that would listen to this podcast, you mean extremely bright people, of course.
Yes, and probably from Alabama.
And you're from Alabama. Please email us. We will sign something and send it to you. I know that is not incentive at all, but we just want to contact with our listener, and hopefully we'll get more than one at some point. So I almost want to just read this article because he says a lot of really key things. So I'm just going to quote a couple things here. First, we'll start with this one. He states that technology must help prepare students to be captains of their future and creators of a better world in ways in which my generation, likely yours and others before us, never dreamed possible. Matt, this goes back to what we've been talking about the past couple of episodes here. It's Arnie, by the way. Thank you. Matt's texting me here and let me know. Arnie, sorry, not Arn. Arnie, he says that, basically what we're looking at here is, like you had talked about, Matt, people are these our future here. They're seeing the world in a different way. And like you talked about the Apple Watch bringing that about.
Well, I think, ideas like this and, talking about technology, specifically STEM, and using that as a platform to teach students, whole different ways of looking at education and looking at the problems that surround them. You know, you've actually highlighted quite a bit, and I'll interject when we get to those points, but I think he speaks to a broader idea that we need to sort of change and shift, not necessarily the way that we teach education or how we get people involved, but maybe teaching better skills to students to help them look at the world around them.
Yeah, and I'm a little frightened right now, Matt. Do you think that Arnie can fire me since I guess I work for him in some way, right? I mean, is Arnie Duncan coming after me because I called him Arn?
No, but he's probably going to send in his. I believe he's actually related to the actor, Duncan, whose first name
isn't Arn.
No, that's just, you know, somebody else.
So I guess at this point we should ask the Alabama listener, please don't let Arnie know about what I've done. So you talked about some examples, and they mentioned them in this article. Arizona State is using 3D printers to help actually solve problems of those confined to wheelchairs, actually printing out things that can make their lives easier. He also talks about virtual presence machines that are being used to help students feel like they're a part of the school environment if they have a debilitating illness, cancer. Can you explain to the good people what a virtual presence machine is, Matt?
A virtual presence machine, there's actually a bunch of different ones. There's an amazing Morgan Spurlock episode on CNN where he actually talks about this. But some of the ones that are chronicled in this actually are upright 3.5 to 4 feet tall robotic machines that sort of drive around and give students who are not able to participate the ability to move around and interact with students at, you know, where they're not able to be. So you can actually track down the school hallway and, you know, have a different experience than maybe, you know, they're used to.
Yeah, and for me, I think of The Big Bang Theory. I love that show. And Sheldon gets completely paranoid that he's not going to be able to, you know, be in a car accident or something. So he sends a virtual presence device. But let's get back to the article here. And I'm just going to quote another thing because I think Arnie is on, spot on with this one. This is my favorite probably quote of the whole entire article. Innovation in education isn't about the latest gadget or app or about how adept a student is at using a smartphone to consume the latest internet meme. It's about how technological tools can empower students to become who they want to be and who we need them to be, the kind of children and young people who ask, what can I improve? How can I help? What can I build? What do you think about that statement, Matt?
I still think cat memes are pretty important, but I'm pretty spot on. I think it's a great idea to teach kids from a very early age to look at problems in different ways and try to solve them themselves.
Yeah, and he's using technology as a tool. He doesn't. I love it because he's not seeming to get caught up in what's the most current app or the current gadget. And I think in technology, especially in educational technology, we start to get consumed by that. Well, we have something that works and allows students to solve problems, but we want to see what the next thing is. So something to definitely think about. And I think you shouldn't overrate your cat meme interest because, again, that's the reason why we get to have a subreddit. And I think that's important, too. So to me, teachers and students both should be creating more now than ever simply because of how easy and accessible it is to do so, right? You can make HD videos. All the free apps are out there that you can create stuff with. Computers are more accessible. They have Chromebooks that are $199, $250. I mean, it's getting to a point of where we are, I think, narrowing that gap, but we also have to get to that next level of not just consuming technology but creating with it. So excellent article. I definitely give it a read if you get a chance, and you can check out that link. Go to fortechteachers.com and you'll see that link. We go to the next story, a Business Insider article reports on a Microsoft video that has gone viral. The video shows several girls being interviewed regarding their feelings about science. And it says a lot about our society and its issues with getting and keeping girls interested in science. Did you get a chance to watch the video, Matt?
Oh, yes, I did.
We've been seeing a lot of news recently about coding, specifically about getting girls interested in coding. We've talked about that last week with the supermodel creating a scholarship for a 2-week class in coding. Should we be concerned at all that this is essentially an ad for Microsoft?
No, I think I guess you could look at it from that perspective, but I think the most important part is Microsoft sees the future, and it's in their best interest to help, you know, drive people to learn how to do this kind of stuff. I mean, they're going to need people they're going to hire in the future, as well are Apple, Google, and any of the huge companies that are going to be made in the future, and anybody who wishes to build something on their own.
Yeah, I think this is a really smart move on their part. Microsoft has been doing a lot of cool things lately, I think. At first, it seemed like a couple years ago that Microsoft was on the way down and it was going to be a bad scenario for them. But I feel like recently they've really done a lot to get their platform out there and be more inclusive than exclusive. And I think this is just another good example of that. A couple of neat things in there. You should definitely watch the video, and we'll put a link up to it on the website. The girls mentioned that they don't really see female role models in ads, and it, to me, it seems like they just became those role models, did they not?
I think they've become those role models, and I really hope that all of our mediums start chronicling and putting people out there who have come before us, and you know, the great people who have done work like that. I think we're all, you know, aware of Alan Turing, the guy who broke the Enigma code. There was a huge group of people that he worked with during that time at Bletchley Circle. A huge number of them are women, and they did amazingly expansive things that really have, you know, brought us so much when it comes to technology as a whole and what we can do with it. And this just excites me because I want our future to be, you know, full of, you know, amazing women inventors and, you know, technology.
Yeah, you're
skilled people.
Yeah, you're right on with that. I mean, you know, and as educators, we really do need to be thinking about the implications of how we are teaching subjects. Are we putting any bias in there? You know, we have to look at how we grew up and how we were raised and how we are communicating these things. And we really have to think about including as much of what you're talking about as possible. Dig deep, find some inspiration from females that did this stuff, minorities that did this stuff. The goal should be to include as much as possible so that those people who have different experiences help solve problems. And we'll get into that with the next story. But the thing that kind of disheartened me a little bit was that it did sound like these girls who are admittedly, I think, you know, especially with the news that we've seen this week, even more in a climate that seems to be pushing girls to get into science, but they still feel like, it feels like to me, they still feel like they're getting pushed away from science more than they're being pulled towards it. And that to me is a little troublesome, but I think we're definitely headed in the right direction. So for our third story, we'll be continuing with this discussion. An article on the NewYorker.com talks about a film at the Tribeca Film Festival entitled Code, Debugging the Gender Gap. Now, I'm really excited about watching this film, and I hope it's going to further the debate of what we've been talking about and not only how to decrease the gender gap, but why is it important that we need to? And Matt, you touched on it a little bit ago, but why do we need to decrease this gender gap and so much?
More experiences, you know, more people's experiences and their background brings more experiences to the job front and, you know, technology and gives you different perspectives to solve problems.
Yeah, I mean, that's it for me. That was one of my big reasons for it, is the perspective. You know, it's short-sighted to think that one group of people are going to be able to meet a diverse society's needs. You know, one of the factors that causes the general and racial biases will live on if we continue to sort of perpetuate that, where science is mostly white male or mostly male. You know, we really have to work as a society to bring that diversity so that the problems that need to be solved are mostly need to come from that perspective of diversity. And it's not easy to do that if we don't have those type of people in there helping to create those problem solving situations.
Yeah. And I think it's a larger societal issue, and anything that can be used on any front of education in any way possible to start chipping away at those, I think is going to be for the betterment of society as a whole. But that's a whole 18-hour discussion I could have.
Yeah, when you start getting into society and why these things are happening and how many years these things have gone on to create this type of a stigma, it's a huge discussion. But it seems like we're moving the needle in the right direction. Our last story, Matt, is a cool one, and I'm going to defer to you a lot on this one. CNET reports that Google's Project Loon is scaling up and getting closer to launch. Can you explain what this is for those who are uninitiated?
Yeah, several years ago, Google decided that they wanted to start bringing Wi-Fi to more rural areas all around the world, and they started doing that by using weather balloons. At this point, basically, they've scaled it up, found ways to build these balloons. Instead of it taking 2 to 3 days, they can do it now within hours, be able to launch them up, and they're able to stay up in the sky for hundreds of days, creating basically a wireless network for anyone to join.
And, you know, dealing directly with education, the impact here is pretty outstanding. Is there, I know that they did a project in a remote village in Africa, you know, where they've tested this out there. I mean, bringing the type of information that the internet can give to societies, areas that don't have this, is just unbelievable when it comes to impacting education. We talk about narrowing that gap. I mean, that's what this is to me.
Oh, no, it's absolutely 100% narrowing the gap. Education is power. You could look at power structures, power struggles, and information always is the easiest way for you to get out of that.
Yeah, and you're going to get students, people all across the world that don't have access to this information, through a project like this, they're going to start being able to get that information. And what they do with it is the exciting part. I mean, it's like we've talked about with these other stories. It's exciting to see what girls are going to do in science, what minorities are going to do, what people who haven't had the ability to get this information are going to see it as. You know, we've been in it and involved in it. Maybe we don't see it from the same angle and perspective. So it's exciting. So that's the end for the EdTech news of the week. And now we'll go to our tip of the week. And we're going to keep this one short and sweet. This has been a lot about diversity this episode and trying to narrow that gap. And as educators and as teachers, we need to be thinking about that when we use technology. Are we using it to close these gaps? Think about how you are presenting that material so that you can be as inclusive as possible. We want as many students as possible to feel that not only is the information we're giving them relevant, but that they can do something with it, that they can be successful with it. The job of a teacher is definitely difficult, even on its easiest days. But reminding ourselves of this concept can really have a huge impact on our students. I think the biggest thing, Matt, is that it has to drive the conversations in schools. It's got to be in your department meetings, your learning communities, your district, wherever you're at. This needs to be something that's thought about and discussed, because it really is. It's a cult, like you talked before. This is an issue that we could, you know, pontificate on for hours upon hours about why these things are that way and how we can change them. But more than anything, what you can do as an educator and in your district is just make sure that these things are being talked about. Anything else you'd like to say about this tip of the week, Matt?
No, I think you've summed it up quite nicely.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel good. Matt, we've come to the end of another show. A lot of people probably didn't think we'd make it to 3, but we did. We showed them.
Well, once we hit 5, I think people will start to get it.
Well, at least in Alabama, they are forward educational technology thinkers. We have one. Please email us. We want to connect. We will sign something. It won't be worth anything, but it'll be fun for us. You can follow me on Twitter at 4TechTeachers. That's the number 4, 4TechTeachers. And also www.4TechTeachers.com. That's going to be where you can get the show notes. Matt, do you want to pitch or plug anything here at the end of the show?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, join us again next week as we take a look at the week in EdTech.